Ross Cave on ABC Wide Bay.
G'day, and thanks for listening. Music can lift you up higher and higher to where you're Katrina and the Waves and you're walking on sunshine. Or maybe like the Screaming Jets once said, how about a sad song to help me get further down? Performer Ruby Mills is here to share her recent experiences with self-care as a person in the music industry during the pandemic and the power that music can have on your own mental health.
While you're standing at a distance, so we keep waiting, waiting on the world to change.
I'm 100% with you. It's such a great tool in regards to, you know, kind of changing your mood, but also changing maybe what you feel like doing. You know, like maybe if you listen to quiet music, you'll feel comfortable, you might feel like a bit vulnerable, you might relax. If you listen to upbeat music, you might feel like going for a run or dancing around the kitchen or something like that, right? So it doesn't only affect your mood, but I feel like it's such a strong tool to affect what you feel like doing. For me, if I want to get you know, like upbeat or excited about something, I listen to Melbourne Ska Orchestra. And please take this with a grain of salt. I'm not just giving this band a plug because I'm in it. I think obviously my history with that band is such a positive experience. So that's what makes me feel good. And it's very upbeat. You know, it's great music to listen to. It's really upbeat. So it kind of, yeah, gets me going for my day.
Ska gets you dancing.
It does, yeah. And that's not every day. It's just, you know, it's every now and again. Yeah.
The last 18 months to 2 years with COVID has been rough on everyone. And there's different sectors that have really felt the full weight of that. One of them is touring musicians.
Yeah.
How's that impacted you personally?
Yeah, it's huge. I think, you know, if you have a role in the music industry or you work in the arts, like for me as a musician, my life has been flipped upside down. And I was only singing semi-professionally. You know, I wasn't doing this day in, day out. I was working full-time in hospitality and I was singing semi-professionally. I think, though, you know, even if you don't come from a music background, anybody can be in a position to kind of, you know, like music can affect every single person at some point in their life or at some point in their day. But I think the arts have just been hit incredibly hard. I think, you know, when you have a bit of creative energy like that, that you like to share, that you like to show, and maybe you find yourself in a role where people want you, you know, they want to watch you, they want to be entertained by you. It's really challenging to not be able to share that, to not be able to do that.
And I guess it's really highlighted too that without gigs, artists can't make a living. So people, it's not just, you know, fans of yours don't necessarily just want to hear your music and hear you perform live. They want to support you. Has that come through at all?
Absolutely. Absolutely. For me, like I said before, you know, my world has changed a lot in the last 18 months. I'd been living in Brisbane for a really long time. And when COVID kind of blew in, I've made a very quick decision to change direction of my life. And I mean, I'm lucky enough to be sitting in the studio with you today. And, you know, part of that reason is because I decided to move home, mm-hmm. And back with my family on property where I grew up. And being back in the local community has been such a great step forward for me, to be honest. And doing, you know, those smaller gigs and those more intimate gigs with the people that kind of started it all off for me. And, it's true support and it's true loyalty. And I think that, you know, there's a huge message in that alone. But I don't know, my gigs are still being cancelled. You know, like I had another two gigs that have just been cancelled last week. So it's been an incredibly infuriating 18 months for the people in the arts. Yeah.
That decision to come home, that sounds like there's almost an element of self-care in that, because it was around, this is the best thing that for me right now is to move home.
Yeah, absolutely. And self-care is different for everybody. For me, that it was just a really important decision that I had to make. And I mean, the decision came quite easily, and I'm very, you know, I feel very grateful to be home. You know, talking about COVID, it has affected everybody, whether that's lifestyle changes, work, like, you know, in and out of lockdowns. But I think on the back foot of that, you've got mental health and self-care that is now, you know, come to the forefront and is more in general chatter than possibly what it was before. And I think it is so important and it's so vital to engage in those conversations, because people's, you know, people are navigating now kind of the new priorities in their life. And yeah, mental health and self-care is huge in that.
So where does music fill that self-care purpose for you right now?
I actually have this quote, and it's one of my favorite quotes, and I found it in the paper many years ago, and it's been on my fridge for years, and it's by B.B. King, and he is one of my favorites, and he once said, "Blues is a tonic for whatever ails you. I could play the blues and not feel blue anymore." And I think there is a huge message in that. And, you know, like I was saying earlier, not so much for musicians, but anybody that engages in music. And I think, you know, when you hear a song, often it will take you back to a certain point in your life. And everybody has felt that, right? Like, everybody's had that feeling. And I think as a vocalist as well, the older I get, I've come to understand and respect that I have a very powerful voice in possibly navigating people to different times in their life, or how they're feeling at that very moment that I'm singing to them, you know. And you pick up on that. You pick up on that in crowds. But music for me and self-care it's huge.
I guess you don't know what a particular song could mean to a particular person. So it could be a happy song. It could be Katrina and the Waves, Walking on Sunshine, one of the happiest songs getting out there. It's ridiculous.
Absolutely.
But it could remind someone of a terrible moment in their life.
Yeah, that's not the message to everybody.
Yeah.
Yeah, everybody is different.
Is it more about performing for you? Is it about, what is it that that really has a lot of your focus?
100% it's performance for me. I've been very lucky to, I mean, I worked hard to get there, but, you know, I've been very lucky to find myself in roles in certain bands, and I've played to huge audiences. Do you know what? That doesn't even matter to me. I can play to a room of 20 people, or I can play to, you know, an auditorium of 15,000. It's the people in front of me in regards to quantity is not a big deal for me, and I feel the same performing in front of 20 as I do 15,000. It's more about sharing your voice and getting my voice out there. Performance is huge for me, and I think I really learnt the lesson probably the hard way. But I got to a point in my life and I felt like singing and performing was the only thing that I knew how to do. And it's a tough lesson to learn when when you find yourself in that position. And it doesn't have to be in music, it's in anything in life. You know, we all live such busy lives and you get so caught up in your work that sometimes when you break it down, you actually feel like that's the only thing that you know how to do or the only thing that you're good at. It's taken me a long time to kind of curb that mental thought. And, you know, coming back home for the last 18 months, I've been working on that. And I've probably been forced to learn that lesson as well, because performance hasn't even been an option for me. But yeah, it was really hard because I felt like that's all I could do. I didn't know how to do anything else. So when you're not given the opportunity to share it, it was really hard. It continues to be hard, you know, day to day.
You said you had to find out the hard way. Tell me about the hard way.
Oh, heavy.
Yeah.
I think, like I said, I was living in Brisbane and working full time in hospitality. and I was singing semi-professionally, but all of my singing was not based out of Brisbane, but around Australia. So I was flying out on a Friday afternoon or a Saturday morning, and I'd play my gig on the Saturday night, and I'd fly back on Sunday, and I'd start work at 5:30 on Monday morning. It was not sustainable, but I really tried to make it work. And what do they say? You're burning the candle at both ends.
Mm-hmm.
And it wasn't sustainable, but do you know what? You've got to pay the bills as well. And in music, I feel that when you're given opportunities, if you say no, you know, people stop asking and they stop knocking on your door. And I've always been, I wouldn't say that I'm picky about where I sing or, you know, who I'm kind of involved with. But I'm definitely selective about the people that I surround myself with, both in music and in life. And I think for a while there, I was just getting caught up. So I had to take a step back and move home, and this is where I am. But yeah, self-care has probably never been, I've never been a great one at, you know, making that the most important thing in my life. And unfortunately, sometimes you have to go down a pretty hard path to learn that it needs to become a priority. And that's, you know, what I was saying before. But I've always been very grateful that I've had incredible family and beautiful friends to support me and kind of guide me on that self-care journey, because it is so important, and you don't want to get to the bottom of the barrel before you realize that it is a priority. You know, you need to do the preventative measures before you get to that point.
So how do you be kind to yourself? Talking about, you know, self-care, how are you kind to yourself? Is it just about reminding yourself that there's more to you than just the box of you're a musician, you perform, but there's actually more to yourself than that.
Absolutely, yeah. And I do a lot of different things. I'm involved in a lot of different things, and I think, you know, coming back home, my parents have a small business, Red Shed Seafood, and I'm sure a lot of listeners have, you know, seen me back in there in the last, yeah, kind of year, 18 months. And, you know, it's a smelly job. It's not a very feminine job, you know, and a lot of my friends are like, you're crazy. You know, how have you lasted that long in there? I love being in there. I feel very valued, and I feel like I have a purpose. And I think that's a really huge title as well, right? Finding a purpose, having a purpose. And whether that's in family situations or friends or work, if you feel valued in a circle, that's self-care in itself, right? It's so important for your mental health. But yeah, you know, kind of going back to my roots, and yes, going back to Red Shed, my parents' business, and I read a lot. I have gone back to property where I grew up, and the older I get, I've come to realize that being on the land is almost vital in my life. I don't know why, there's just a certain connection that I have out there that I need for, I don't know, just for my day to day. But I also have an app called Headspace, and I use that a lot. And they're kind of guided meditations. They have audio playlists now, just even just with music. And I often listen to them when I walk. I try and walk most mornings, and I listen to the app or I listen to some music and just try and get away for that, you know, 45 minutes. It's such a nice way to start your day.
So what's on the playlist?
Oh, there's lots of different things. I've been listening to, I'll tell you what I've been listening to at the moment. Mm-hmm. I've been listening to Amy Winehouse. Yeah, her first record called Frank. I've been listening to that a lot. Yeah, I think I've got a new song out of that.
Ooh,
yeah.
That's exciting.
It is exciting, yeah. Maybe I should come in and sing it one time.
Yep, definitely. You definitely, definitely should.
And I miss your ginger hair and the way you like to dress. Oh, won't you come on over? Stop making a fool out of me. Why don't you come on over, Valerie? Valerie. Valerie.
Ruby Mills. She's a Bundaberg performer who you may know from her appearances on X Factor Australia. She has a passion for the blues and can often be found performing with the Melbourne Ska Orchestra. She's been talking about mental health and the importance of self-care. And I asked Ruby about those times when she may have been having an off day, but is about to go on stage. How do you make sure that when you're about to perform, you're in the best headspace to give the performance you want to?
Yeah, and I think, you know, chatting before about my kind of experience living in Brisbane and deciding to come back home, my performance was being affected by how exhausted I was in my day-to-day because, you know, I'd bitten off too much, you know, what do they say?
More than you can chew?
Yeah, more than you can chew. And like I'm saying, you do learn the hard way. I think confidence then, you know, it's just a domino effect, right? Confidence then plays on that. So I was exhausted from my working in, you know, the 9 to 5 and the normal job and flying out and doing these performances, yes, in front of these crowds that have an expectation of you. And you know what? You have an expectation of yourself. And the more you do, the bigger that expectation becomes. And that's healthy as well. You know, it's actually healthy as well because you learn to be better. You learn to push the boundaries. But yes, doing these performances, I felt like I was getting up and I wasn't showcasing to the best of my ability. And that's because I was exhausted. Mm. But unfortunately, when you don't feel like you're doing a good job in front of that many people, there can be a lot of mental side effects to that when you walk off the stage. I tried my best to be ready when I went into these gigs. And I truly do believe that I did pull it off, but possibly inside, I didn't feel like that all of the time. Yeah. And that's a tough one to battle.
Does that come back to you through members of your band checking in? Do you have that support network?
Yeah, absolutely, I do. My family is a huge one for me, and you know, I've been in this ABC studio quite a few times now. I've been very lucky, and I've probably spoken about my family every time because I am so lucky that they are so supportive. And, you know, find great drive in encouraging me to do the things that I love doing. But also, you know, like it's so nice to support a friend when you know that they're really good at something or, you know that they can get that job done when it comes to it. It's so almost exciting to be a part of that journey with them. I think in the band that I was in, Melbourne Ska Orchestra, we are up to a 32-piece band. So it is a huge project, but you do connect with certain people as you do in any band or, you know, any kind of team situation. And we are all about kind of checking in on each other. And I think when it came to the end of those Melbourne Ska shows for me, you know, before COVID kind of shut down our tour, I wasn't performing at my best. And I did notice that I had quite a few band members that were pulling me aside and saying, hey, what's going on? And I think it's a really harsh reminder because I thought that I was doing a really good job of covering it up. But you very quickly learn that you aren't. You know, when people start pulling you aside and realizing that you're just not your bubbly self, you know, you have to respect them for going out of their way and caring about you and wanting to make a change.
How are you doing now?
How
are you doing today?
I'm good today. Thank you, Ross. moving back home has been the best decision for me. It's changed a lot of things in my life. And I've really kind of found, the important things in my life and how to prioritize what I do and don't want to do. But sometimes when you're really busy, you just get caught up and you keep saying yes. And You're like a little hamster on a wheel.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It's like you said before, that you got to say yes to the gig, because the next one, they may remember that you said no last time.
Absolutely.
And go to someone else.
Absolutely, yeah. And, you know, and that's, you know, kind of what I was saying. You know, you don't want to be picky, but you definitely want to be selective, because you want to be in there, right, to stay in there. But I'm pretty confident to say that I've done a good job of that, and that's purely by surrounding myself by supportive people that want, you know, that want you to succeed.
Mm.
Yeah.
So that would be your advice for self-care, is touch base with your support network?
100%. Yeah, 100%. Definitely touch base with your support network. And you know what? Some people have a much larger network than you do. There is no judgment in that, and there is no message in that. If you have 10 people around you that support you and love you 100%, lucky you. If you have 2 people, lucky you. It doesn't matter how many people it is. You need them, you know, like it's, you know, I don't know, there's that saying, it takes a village to raise a baby. Well, it takes a village to raise an adult too. It is a tough world out there. And especially now, like during kind of the COVID climate, it is a crazy world that we're living in. Every morning I turn the news on, it's scary and it's shocking. So to try and navigate through that, and like I was saying earlier, you know, change those priorities. I think a lot of people have changed direction of their life in the last 18 months. It's so important to have that network behind you to support you. You know, I think obviously touching back on music, you know, make a playlist. Make a playlist. And do you know what? Make a few. Make and rename them for things that maybe you feel like doing, or, you know, things that make you motivated or feel driven, or sometimes like a chilled out playlist for when you want to sit back and read a book or read a magazine or go for a walk. I think it's so important to recognize what kind of music affects your mood, because everybody is different, right? You might listen to heavy metal and it might make you feel relaxed. It makes me feel very on edge, but that's just me and that's how I operate. And I think, yes, it's very important to recognize what kind of music and what kind of tones or genres, yeah, affect your mood, because we have power over how we're feeling, right? Mm. I can be feeling really good and on top of my day, and I can get in the car and a song will come on the radio that is maybe a little bit sad or takes me back to a moment, and all of a sudden I'm just flooded with emotion. How does that work, right? It's crazy. So I think recognizing that and being able to navigate that so you're positive about what you're listening to.
Ruby Mills, you may remember her from X Factor Australia or Australian Idol, or remember her from events like the Childers Festival, where you saw her perform live. And she was speaking about music, mental health, self-care, and maybe do go out and find that playlist. You know, that one that really gives you a lift. My name's Ross Kay. Thanks for listening.